Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 14th, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter July 14th, 2020. A 10 is a complete block from the Kli of Adam, the soul made by the Creator, like a cell in a body. The body of a soul comprises myriad such cells, tens. As a result of their development, they must combine together into a single body. Herein lies the hash purpose of creation and our correction. We must rejoice at descents as if they are ascents, to anticipate the impending ascent as we fall, meaning the advancement toward bestowing to one another and to the Creator, when we begin to understand and feel Him with renewed strength. A descent grants strength for a new ascent, like getting a running start before jumping. It seems that the transition of our perception from egoistic to altruistic is impossible without the intervention of viruses that can transform the activity of the higher nervous system of a person into an altruistic program of perception and decision-making. About light and darkness. The Torah begins with the fact that the Creator created heaven and earth, day and night, darkness and light, opposite states. This is where it all begins. The Creator always gives day, light. And the night, the darkness, is felt where nothing shines for us. We need to correct this feeling of night, darkness, to bring ourselves to such a state where the darkness shines like light and becomes like day. It turns out that in any state we must feel the day, the presence of the Creator. If I feel night, darkness, helplessness, if there is no desire, energy, no urge for advancing, for bestowal, love, and unity, that is, for correction and connection into one soul of Adam HaRishon, then I need to correct this state. It is only in regard to me that this appears as night, darkness, weakness, and hopelessness. I do not expect the Creator to change this state because He will not quarrel to eternity. I understand that these states were given to me intentionally so that I could change them by working in a group and praying, demanding my correction, and not asking the Creator to change the world around me. I must be first in all the changes, and let the force of correction come from the Creator. With regard to the Creator, I always see myself as a criminal in need of correction, and therefore, I am grateful to the Creator for what He does for me. After all, my every state begins with the night, as it is written, and there was evening and there was morning, one day. Let every day be a new day, that is, the Creator condenses the darkness for me more and more each time so that I can turn it into the light. If we are corrected, then day shines for us, we have adhesion with the Creator, revelation, attainment, understanding, and connection. How does one not make a mistake and make sure that this is day and not night? If in this state I want to connect with my friends and the Creator, then this is a day. However, if I have no desire toward this, then this is not a real day, not the day of the Creator, but night, in which I am like a bat that can see at night. Yet, the bat sees only darkness, but thinks it is a day. We need to clearly understand the difference between a rooster and a bat so that we do not get infected with viruses, such as the coronavirus that we got from bats. For the Creator, only day exists. And the bats that rule at night, that is, the forces of darkness and separation, fall asleep during the day because they are afraid of the real light, the light of bestowal, love, and unity. We need to bring this light into the world. And then all the symbols and roots of darkness will disappear. The light of the Creator can only be attracted by awakening the light of Hasidim. After all, this is a necessary condition. The light of connection and love, the light of Chochmah, will not shine without the dressing of the light of Hasidim. Therefore, first of all, we must take care of the light of Hasidim, the light of bestowal, the mutual embrace. We do not have the strength to bestow yet, but we really want to achieve it. Having prepared the light of Hasidim, we will pull the light of Chochmah through it. This work, when we try to see everything through the light of Hasidim, the light of bestowal to the Creator, is called faith above reason. However, we appreciate the night as well because it shows us the place where we need to correct our attitude, correct the night. The day and night of the Creator in spiritual work are not lights and darkness in the egoistic sense, but day and night in the ability to rise above our egoism and achieve bestowal to each other and to the Creator. What is light and darkness? Light is the force of bestowal. The light of love, the light of Hochma, will not awaken until there is the light of Hasidim. The Creator is revealed only in the light of Hasidim, in the light of bestowal from our side, according to the equivalence of form. He wants to bestow, and we want to bestow. To the extent that we want to bestow to the Creator, we reveal what the Creator wants to bestow to us. The measure of our and His bestowal determines the condition for the revelation of the light of the Creator. It is like a guest and a host. If the guest has a desire to please the host, then he allows himself to taste the food prepared by him. Spiritual connection means that we take care of each other so that everyone is in bestowal. I ask for others, and it works. The Creator shines through me. We all do this and receive light from the Creator that awakens the force of mutual bestowal in us. Thus, the light of Hasidim emerges between us, within which the light of Hochma manifests. However, in the light of Hasidim, we already feel that we are in a spiritual state. Crimes turn into mistakes, and therefore, we are considered incomplete righteous. Only our desire, our prayer, can attract the light of Hasidim to us, which can give us the quality of bestowal. We must unite and cry together to the Creator, like chicks in a nest opening their mouths greedily. The main condition is to aim for Him together, otherwise, it will not be for the sake of bestowal. If I alone aim for the Creator, I turn into Klipa because I demand for myself. The condition for the right demand for light that will correct me and open my eyes is to ask for everyone. This is a very clear test. It is said, either the society or death. If I ask for everyone, I receive life, and if I do not ask for the group, I doom myself to death. Without darkness, there will be no light, and therefore, there was evening and there was morning, one day. The Creator created darkness, He did not need to create light because the light is His essence. Darkness is a special creation created by the Creator. This was not easy to do because darkness is the opposite of the Creator. The Creator has to deal with the states that He hates, but He did this in order to enable us to understand the darkness and light and become like the Creator, knowing good and evil. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, July 5, 2020, Writings of Rabash, Article 34, What are day and night in the work? 1988. Are we fulfilling our function? Question. Scientists say that the more a society or an organism is developed, the more vulnerable they become. Now, even the smallest blow is very strongly felt by a person. For example, many perceive isolation at home as a strong blow. We have been staying home for a month and we cannot take it anymore. People are going crazy. In the past, they did not go anywhere at all. They lived in their villages and communicated only with fellow villagers. Is there a connection between egoism and our desires? Are egoism and desire the same thing? Or is it the form of filling a desire called egoism? Answer: indeed, people have lived in the same village for generations, without going beyond its borders, and nothing terrible has happened to them. Today, a person lives in a big city and he does not have enough. He gets on a plane and flies to other countries to travel somewhere several times a year. He needs change because his desires change. His desires are growing. Remark: the concept of egoism comes from the Latin word ego, I. It means a person's behavior, which is entirely determined by the thought of his own advantage and benefit when a person puts his interests above the interests of other people. My comment: absolutely. Question: is the fact that a person flies around the world a lot, is engaged in music and art, not called egoism? I cannot harm others with this. Why is this bad? Answer: Here we are already entering a completely different area. What is man destined for, and does he fulfill his function from the point of view of the system of nature? It may seem that he is a calm, normal person who has not done anything bad in his life. But in fact, he causes great harm to all of nature. Like a screw in a huge machine that does not spin, and the machine is disabled because of it. So, is he doing something or not? He may say, "I am not doing anything. What do you want from me?" But in fact, his importance is such that the whole machine may not be suitable for proper use because of this small screw. Question: do you think that every person living in this world has caused some harm to nature? Answer: undoubtedly. Because we are all in an integrated system. All nature is absolute, integral. All its parts are interconnected. Each of them has its own program, its own goal, which is part of the general program and the general goal of all of nature, which moves like a huge, complex machine. The whole mechanism of nature takes into account the participation of each of us. Question: what specific harm does an ordinary person living, say, in Latin America cause to all? He does not pump oil, he does not fly to other countries, he does not even use this oil. What harm could he cause? Answer: he is an integral part of humanity, its small particle, a small screw. He needs to study where and how he must act in order to be connected with all of humanity and fulfill his function. If he does not fulfill this function, he causes harm. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 23, 2020. Why don't we feel the mutual connection? Question: we are all interconnected with each other and with nature. There are certain chains of relationships. For example, a collision of galaxies causes the formation of stars. Stars cause the formation of iron. Iron flows in our veins, and our hearts beat from this. It is like we are all interconnected by a common heartbeat. Another chain, thanks to the photosynthesis of bacteria that lived 2.5 billion years ago and formed oxygen, we live today. Another example, there is a common consciousness. Currently, people are being born in whom the baggage of experience, knowledge, feelings of past generations has accumulated. Thus, we are connected by a common breath, a common heartbeat, and a common consciousness. And although we understand this, we do not feel it. What other hidden connections exist between us that we don't know about yet? Answer: we are connected in one common soul. Our properties, sensations, experiences, thoughts, all this is common. None of us have anything personal. The only thing that remains for each of us is to connect to a common soul and feel the system of our complete interconnection. And without this, we feel lonely, as soul beings. But this is nothing more than a false idea of our true condition. Question: what else are we connected with besides thoughts and desires? Answer: absolutely everything. There is not a single cell, not a single thought, not a single desire, not a single motivation, nothing that I would have myself without receiving from others or without transforming through myself into others. Question: why do we not feel this? Answer: because our egoism disconnects us from each other. Although we are completely dependent and integrated into each other, we do not feel so. Egoism, as it were, takes away our consciousness, and we do not understand that we are in an absolute, complete, perfect connection with each other. From the CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. Twenty-first Century Woman, Part 1. History recognizes many women who were pioneers that paved the way, made changes in the world, and laid the foundation for a more progressive society. Heroic efforts were usually required for a woman to break through prevailing stereotypes and go against accepted norms and cultural traditions. And yet, history was written basically by men, and there are very few female names in it. women always remained in the background. After all, history develops in accordance with the general structure of society, the universe, the entire creation, which consists of 10 sephirot. This structure develops from top to bottom, from the sephirah keter to malkhut. And although everything is intended for malkhut, for the female part of the structure, until her turn comes, until the whole system develops, the role of women is hidden. This is visible throughout history among all nations and at all times. Only among the people of Israel has the role of a woman always been more pronounced than that of others, as evidenced by these names from the Tanakh: Eve, the wife of Adam, the great women prophetess Batya, the daughter of the Pharaoh, who raised Moses. Batya means the daughter of the Creator, Betyudhe-dash, which speaks of her highest destiny. The Torah, 5 books of Moses, tells about many women who have a special role in history, and always positive. And during the 2,000-year-long last exile, the role of women went into even greater concealment. To the extent of the depth and the length of the exile, to that extent, the role of women remained in the shadows. And now, as we move out of this exile, women are getting more and more freedom and increasingly important roles. Particularly large changes occurred in the last 20th century, and even more so today in the 21st century, when women are becoming a dominant part of development. This is very noticeable in the modern world, where so many women occupy leadership positions in enterprises and even as heads of states. Not only is female power growing, but the image of a woman is becoming increasingly important. As a result, we see that the whole world exists in order to raise Malkhut, the female part, according to the model of the upper world. And although Malkhut was always concealed because it is the last Sephirah, at the last stage, it becomes the most important, leaves concealment, and becomes revealed in the reflected light up to Keter itself. It turns out that the role of women is the most important. And although it is written that all the glory of the king's daughter is inside, since she has been hidden the whole time, now she comes to the forefront and begins to reveal herself as the most important part. I think that the 21st century will provide women with more time and space so that she can move forward and learn about her role in correcting the world. Such women can lead the world to the sublime goal before us. In earlier times, the development of women was always late relative to the overall development. The fact is that woman belongs to the 10th part of the general structure. Keter, Hochma, Bina, Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and the last, Malkhut, is the female part of the soul. But when Malkhut begins to receive, when there is already restriction, screen, and reflected light in which Malkhut reaches Keter, then the light comes and illuminates all the Sephirot. The direct and the reflected light are connected together. And before that, humanity was dismissive to the role of the woman and did not value her dignity. But all this must be corrected in our days, as we come to the last stage in which a woman must grow up and show herself. A qualitative change occurred already in the 19th century, and female power began to break forward. Women received the right to vote in elections, access to higher education. This promoted not only women themselves but society as a whole, its lower social strata. The woman not only enters the historical, social, government stage but also pulls up the weak social strata, which could not have risen otherwise. A woman changes everything. We must only give a place to one woman, allow her to prove herself, and the whole life changes. And our time is special in that we are coming to the end of the correction of the world. A lot still needs to be corrected, but we are already at the finish line. And therefore, the role of women is becoming more and more noticeable day by day. A woman will demand more and more because her natural forces are pushing her. And on the other hand, the male half of humanity will bow more and more to women. Therefore, it is necessary to explain to a woman her role and duty to fulfill it, and to not neglect her. If women do not fulfill their leading role, they seem to leave it for men. but men can no longer act as they did before. It turns out that men are no longer acting, and women are not acting yet, and we fall between two chairs, which is very dangerous. These are the times we are entering today. From CAB TV's Women in the New World, June 30, 2020. The problem of universal correction. Question: today we are facing the problem of universal correction. Or is there an opportunity to save the situation by a group of Kabbalists? Answer: and how will a group of Kabbalists save the situation if the purpose of nature is for all of creation to become mutually and integrally connected with each other, to achieve the properties of connection and love? How can a small group of people do this? It exists only to teach the methodology of unification to everyone else, to be teachers for them. Thus, nothing can happen without the inclusion of absolutely every person in this process. Question: a small part of humanity understands the essence of the crisis that has come, but most don't know about this. How does one convey to the whole world the need for a person to change so that the whole world will be corrected? Answer: this is your work and you must do it. Try to do everything possible. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10, 2020. Reach the senses of souls and worlds. Baal HaSulam, Shemati 3, the matter of spiritual attainment. We discern many degrees and discernments in the worlds. We must know that everything that relates to discernments and degrees speaks of the attainment of the souls with regard to what they receive from the worlds. This follows the rule: what we do not attain, we do not know by name. In the upper worlds, there are many levels where the souls are located, and each of them receives from its level. We do not feel that, but all the souls are inside us and we need to reveal them. We can gradually attain these states when we manage the presence of our souls on a certain level and then ascend. That is, we will feel and understand our souls and the stages they are on. This means that we will feel and attain the worlds, and by performing different actions, we can raise our souls to the levels of the worlds and thus see, feel, and perceive creation more and more. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 8, 2019. New Life 1179. The Importance of Life.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the importance of life. We live our life. The years go by. And when we look at life in general, we see that it's something that's really important to us. And today we'd like to talk about the value of life on our way to a better world. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Yael, please. Yeah, we really see that in the Western world, life is truly valued. And this is something that's in consensus, I think, that in order to take someone else's life, something really dramatic has to happen for that. It's not just if you get mad or something, you can kill whoever you feel like. But really, it's only if your life is in danger or you want to save the life of other people, that's the only reason to take someone else's life. And we know that also in Judaism, life is considered the highest value. And I'd like to ask, where does this feeling come from, that life is so valuable? Dr. Leitman, first of all, it doesn't return. That's one thing. Another thing is that this is what a person has. You can't exchange it. You can't buy it. You can't divide it. Meaning, it's something that is out of our hands. The only thing that we can do is take a life. But that's it. We have no idea where does life come from. what is its value, objectively, regardless of ourselves. It's not that I can weigh life and say, okay, this is what it weighs, this is how important it is, what it's worth. This is actually the situation. What else do I have? I can fulfill my life more or less, but for sure, all of us live and die. And if we live and die, then the only thing left is, what do I fill my life with? The value of life. And there is a constant dispute about it. What's more important, what's less, this is what we talk about all the time, this is what we measure, what to fill this short life of ours with. When you say to weigh life, what do you mean? What do we fill it with? How do we measure it? According to which scale of importance? Meaning, if we're talking about the importance of life, someone invests himself in science, someone else in, you know, becoming a big star, an athlete. Everyone wants to get the maximum out of life, as much as he can, according to the qualities that he got from birth, and according to the education that he got, and the society that he lives in. In short, these are all very vague things that there's no real social consent about, that this is more important than that, filling life with one thing or another. And so, life's important. Why? You can't say. Judaism also sees life as something extremely important. Why? Because we are obliged to fill our life with good deeds. And so, here too, there are many discernments about what is a good life? What does it mean to fill our life with good deeds? What does a person come to the conclusion of his life with? From heaven to hell, throughout this entire range that he has no idea what all of that is, but it's written, so it says, and he thinks that he'll have to give account for something. So it's better to do something today and get a reward for it tomorrow. Throughout human history, do you see a change in the value of life? Do we appreciate life today more than we did before? Of course, the more we advance in life, from the primitive life of thousands of years ago and to this day, the value of life grows. Why? Because our ego grows, and people, they appreciate themselves more, and accordingly, they want to get more use out of their life. Current use, meaning for now, and something for when after they're gone, after they die. So because my ego is growing, I appreciate myself more, and so I appreciate life more. This is a part of human development. I want to ask about man himself and the importance of life for a particular person. The way you see it, is life important to us? Is our life important to us? It really depends on a person and his education, on the way he sees life, that the something that he's born with. There are those that are drawn to research life. There are those that don't care about what's going on. But the main thing for them is to feel in each and every moment, to feel good, and so on. Everyone fills their life with whatever value they choose. And also, it's not that a person really chooses. A person barely has any free choice left because he's not responsible for the qualities that he's born with and the importance that he has for something, the world that he lives in, the society that he lives in, the measure to which he can examine and change things. You're talking about how a person fills his life with what? I'm asking, suppose a person's born with a stronger drive for life than someone else. Of course, everyone and their own drive for life. Maybe it's not really felt. Because each of us realizes it differently. So we can't always tie the value of life itself and the form of the value. When doesn't a person feel that his personal life is important to him? When? There are such states. Yeah. Either they come from a person not knowing, and then he feels despaired in life, he doesn't want to live, or it's because he's despaired of something, and then he can really say, why is he despaired? What is the reason for it? So much so that he can finish with his life altogether. If they become of zero value, or even if they have a negative value, there are many things around this. What's the difference between a person that has a strong drive, desire for life, and someone that, you know, barely feels it? This is what determines the amount of force that a person can gather in order to change his life to benefit himself or others. Is this something that a person's born with? Largely, these are parameters that a person's born with, and some that he can acquire from the environment. There's always the influence of the environment. Is there a connection between a person's desire to live and his desire to fulfill his life with something? To live for the sake of living is something that any animate creature wants. A person wants to live his life and fulfill it with certain values, because his will to receive is above the level of just living life for the sake of living it, but how to live it, what for. And here you have plenty of different styles and levels, and then everyone according to whatever they were born with. We can see according to a person's character, like, you know, we have the sanguine, melancholic, choleric, and phlegmatic. Four different types of people. Yeah, but besides that, correspondingly, there is also the vital force that exists in everyone. Besides, there is the character, the style of life that he'd like to have. Also, there's the style of pleasures that he'd like to fulfill himself with. What does he see as being advanced? Does he have a larger or smaller ego that he really wants to be better, greater than others, that he's unique, conspicuous, and conspicuous in what way? By what? By being a musician, or a scientist, or a philosopher, or a big criminal, and so on. Doesn't matter what. What's important to him is to express himself. How does he express himself? And so on. Up until now, we talked about the importance of life. Just one more thing that I'd like to ask about this is, when does a person really feel that his life is important? What will make a person feel that? When it becomes important in the eyes of the environment. We have nothing else to compare it with. If it's important in the eyes of the environment, then it's important. So once the environment will reflect to me that my personal life is no longer that important, something inside of me will start to change. There's a book by Viktor Frankl that a person looks for meaning even in very non-simple times. It speaks of the time of the Holocaust. People that truly suffered tremendously, that seemingly there was no reason to continue living. The suffering was so great. He says that a person that finds a meaning to his life, the power, his vital force grows. I think that specifically those cases in which a person feels himself facing eternal questions, facing death, that this pushes him to look for meaning, that he has to give himself an answer. Or to the contrary, there are those that simply waited for it to end. I talked to a person who said that he was waiting to be taken in the next round to the gas chambers. And it changed suddenly in the middle of the day, comes a different order, and they were taken to some place along the way in a different train, and something exploded there, and they all ran away, and this is how he was saved, and he lived for many years afterwards. It's interesting to see how a person thinks about himself. He was in a state where he was thinking, why work so hard and suffer? It's better that I'll be taken today. Then, instead of in a week or two, he already decided. It's interesting. This means that a person is free. He's not afraid of death. And in that moment, what really happens? He can consider things, take things into consideration as though he's not really related to life. That life to him is unimportant. It's no longer important to him. And that sets him free. And you're saying that there's a real freedom. Yeah, because to him it's not important what happens. It's real freedom. I want to ask about the connection between meaning, the meaning of life, and the desire to live altogether. Is there a connection between these two things, and what kind? Again, please. Between the meaning of life, what does life mean to me, and the general desire to live, the importance of life, by acquiring a meaning in life, by that my desire to live grows. We can even see that people, they can recover from different illnesses and advance and live for a long time because they've acquired some goal, some big idea. It's very important. I'd like to ask about another aspect that has to do with the importance of life. There are, well, pretty unusual cases, but in which a person sacrifices his life for a certain goal. It could be someone who sacrifices his life in order to save the life of others, or it could be a terrorist bomber that decides to blast himself for some goal that is exalted in his eyes. If up until now we said that a person has a vital force and it's something given by nature in order for a person to be able to survive, why are there such people that see certain goals as more important than their own life? Because what is a person's personal life? One way or another, tomorrow I'm going to die. And if not tomorrow, then the day after. It's only a matter of time. Meaning, he brings himself to self-scrutiny that one way or another, it's going to come to an end. And if it does, what did I acquire thus far? That's the question. And therefore, it's more important for him to get what he can and end life earlier. Meaning, the fulfillment is more important than life itself. The fulfillment is more important than how long you live. And this is the calculation that a person makes. Nature gave man the drive to live. Yeah, but that's by nature. All in all, it's on the animate level, animal level. When we prepared ourselves for this show, Yael told me that her friend's husband, they were all together at the beach. They saw someone drowning. He jumped into the water in order to save that person. He saved them, but he himself drowned. And from time to time, there are such cases. Can you please explain what's going on here? I can't explain, because he wasn't thinking about himself in that moment. Were he to know that he's going to pay for it with his life, maybe he would have made a different calculation. But this is how it came to him from above, that he was pushed to do this without taking anything into consideration. The main thing for him was to save another person. And that depends on education and many things that aren't necessarily related to his life. At that moment, he disconnected himself from the value of his own life and danger and everything. So naturally, once a person knows that he is in a life-threatening situation, then it's not so sure that he would be willing to sacrifice his life. For sure, the calculation would have been different. Look at all the terrorists. They're told that once you now kill people, you enter heaven, the Garden of Eden, and there the things that are waiting for you, meaning a person is being brainwashed, that if you stop him at the last moment and you say, don't kill and don't die, then they're really in great despair. They're ready to, meaning you as if are taking away an opportunity from that person to reach something good, something more beneficial. Yeah? So, life and death is something very relative. It depends on the importance that a person that's still alive attributes to life and to death, and what does he gain from death. We know that there are such cases where soldiers that are in a certain team, and they're in a fight, and he's willing to sacrifice his life for his team. This is what they're trained for. So what does that person feel? I want to zoom into their heart, into their mind. What kind of calculation goes on in there? Nature gave that person a basic desire to live. Suddenly, he's with a team of people, and he feels that he's willing to sacrifice his life for theirs. Through education, he was taught how to appreciate the life of that team of his friends as more important than his own. And this is the calculation that he makes. It's all a matter of calculation. He can't imagine what will happen later after he dies. He imagines it while he's still alive. And therefore, this is calculation. So, it's not that the importance of life left him, but his definitions broadened, so to speak. Meaning, if previously what was important to him was his own life, now what's important to him is the life of his team. So, life is still important to him. Of course, even on a higher level, his ego grew. He now feels that I am responsible for their life. Even though that I'm going to pay for it with my life, but I determine that their life is more important. This is a calculation made in a big ego. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about the importance of life? How does the wisdom of Kabbalah see this? The importance of life is in achieving the purpose of life. And the purpose of life is to achieve the upper force that life comes from. That's it. Everything else is a means of how to get there. Our life as human beings in this world, is it important? What is their value? Is it important? Life is as important as what you want to achieve in life. Life itself, it's like the life of an animal that we eat. So what's really important? You're saying that it is a means in order to attain something that through life, by it, I achieve a higher goal, a greater and more eternal goal, more tangible. That's it. Why is it forbidden to commit suicide? Because by doing that, you disregard the opportunity that you were given to live and attain the meaning of life. So what is our role in this world, and what is eternal, what's not? You're using different concepts that we'd like to understand. Our role in this world, for which we have received this corporeal life for, is to elevate our life to the highest possible level. Meaning, in our life, we first and foremost have to discover what is the uppermost value in life, what's worthwhile living for, in the most exalted, highest way. How, in order to achieve this goal that's worthwhile living for, how can I realize myself toward it? How can I, in light of the great value of this exalted goal, teach myself and others so that everyone too will advance toward attaining this goal? And the main thing, as it says, is that you will see your world in your lifetime, meaning that we have to attain the degree that comes after death while we're still alive, so that there will be no difference between life and death, because the difference between life and death is that we put our egoistic desire to death either by it dying in a way that it dies along with our body, or that it dies because we put it to death ourselves, that we rise above it, that we don't use our ego. And then what? And then we acquire life, attain life on a higher level. Let's break these things down one by one. When Yael asked you what's the importance of life according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, you said that the importance of life is that with the help of life, you can attain the force that is the source of life. Yes. So, the importance of life is to attain the source of life. What is the source of life? Where life comes from? Where the entire foundation, center, operating system of our universe comes from. This is what I have to attain. Is it a place? Is it a force? It's an upper force. It's a force field that withholds inside of it all the forms of life that we see. It's like the field of reality. Yeah. So, as a human being, you can attain it. To attain means what? To feel, to understand. Feel and understand what? The meaning of life. Meaning, the meaning of this force. What does it want of us? What is it doing? It's a force field that sustains everything. And we exist in it. And I want to feel it. It's here. I want to feel it. And what does that depend on? It depends on the measure to which I develop myself to be similar to that force. And what is that? It means to be above my corporeal ego. And what is a corporeal ego? The desire to enjoy the different things that exist in this corporeal world. The desire to enjoy everything that's in front of me now. That I prefer to attain this upper force to anything else. And what will I get in return? What feels a person that he reveals it? And then if I reveal this force, so to reveal it means to understand. Yeah. To reveal it gives an answer to everything. Last question. Our show is about the importance of life. Suppose that a person advances in this process that you talked about and attains this force called the force of life, this force field. How does it change his day-to-day life in terms of the importance of life that he feels? He surpasses the boundaries of life of ordinary people, which is actually this corporeal, animate life and its death, and rises to an eternal level of living. And also, eternal, it's not on our level. If you tell an ordinary person off the street that you're going to give him an eternal life, maybe he won't want it. Yeah, what do I need all this craziness to go on for? So it's a different level of living, of understanding life, feeling life, the source of life. Does he feel that his life is important? Yes. Why? Why is it important? Because by that he eventually fulfills his inner deficiency. Deficiency meaning what he's lacking? Yeah? And this fulfillment, I know that our time's almost up, just this one thing. The fulfillment that he discovers now, that fulfills him, how does it cause him to relate to the importance of his life that he keeps developing? How important, more important, did his life become? Very. Why? Because if by that he can acquire a higher, exalted, eternal goal, then, of course, his entire life becomes a means for it. And it gives him strength? Of course. In short, it's worthwhile living. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time.